So hopefully you had a chance to share a little bit about the heritage of your name, and maybe you learned something about somebody else that you didn't know, all right? When we're talking about names, though, the last thing that we want is for our name to be profaned. I mean, the other day I forgot something, and I told Judy, I said, I forgot this, and Judy said, oh, you just pulled a Judy, okay? And I thought, no, that's not right. I did it all by myself, but nobody wants to have something bad attached to their name. It's just not something that we want in our life. And that just scratches the surface a little bit about this third commandment. The third commandment is really pretty simple. Many of you probably know it. In the New International Version, it says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." Now, the concept here is, and I want you to understand this, these commandments, especially the first four, but the first three really fit together nicely. God didn't give these as just standalone commandments. They kind of build on each other. There's a certain progression here, a natural progression in the first three commandments. You remember the first one? I am the God of Israel. You will have no other gods before me. So that is specifically talking about our internal worship. Okay? You are not to have any gods besides me. The next one is what? Do not make for yourself any graven images. No idols. Okay? Of any kind. In fact, he's pretty, there's even a bit of overkill in this. Do not hold to any other god, even in your mind. And that is dealing with external worship. So we've had, I am the Lord your God. I'm the only one. I've done all kinds of things for you. You need to hold me in your heart. And you shouldn't be trying to express me in ways that limit me or try to put me in a box. No idols, no graven images. And now the third commandment is, and don't even profane my name. Don't misuse my name. Or in the King James Version, it says, do not take the name of the Lord in vain. That's the way I memorized it when I was in Sunday school. But that word is very interesting because it doesn't just mean swearing. What the word literally means is don't miscarry the name of God. Don't use it or misuse it in ways where when you are carrying or upholding or holding out the name of God, people misunderstand. That's what we're talking about here. So it's bigger than just swearing. But we'll get into that. You see, we're talking about an authority. We're talking about a name. We're talking about the name of the Lord. And the name of the Lord has power, it has authority, it has credibility, more credibility than any other name in heaven and on earth. It is the name of the Lord our God. You see, when Matt was picking out the songs, I imagine that as soon as he saw that commandment number three was don't profane the name of the Lord, he kind of went, oh, there are all kinds of songs about this. Now, I'm picking out the songs for October. There's not a lot of songs that deal with do not commit adultery. So I'm kind of stuck. But what we're dealing with here is the name of the Lord. And it is an authoritative name. And it was relied on throughout all of Scripture from Old Testament to New Testament. Many of you probably know these, but let me just go through a few of them. Do you realize that the prophets proclaimed God's name in the name of the Lord? Most of the time, whenever they were proclaiming God's message, it was in the name of the Lord. God called his people Israel into existence in the name of the Lord. David came against the Philistine Goliath, not with sword or spear, but in the name of the Lord. The friendship between David and Jonathan was bonded not just because of chemistry, but in the name of the Lord. Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal. You remember that story? The fire came down, consumed the altar, consumed the water, consumed the dirt, consumed everything in the name of the Lord. Solomon proclaimed that the name of the Lord was a strong tower of refuge for God's children, and all of the righteous should run to that tower. In the New Testament, the only time, did you know this? The only time the words or the phrase, the name of the Lord, appears is when Jesus is triumphantly entering into Jerusalem. And what do the people do? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In the book of Acts, people were immersed and they were baptized into the name of the Lord. In the Gospels, in the epistles and all of the other books of the New Testament, we find out that Scripture says that if we confess in the name of the Lord, our good deeds should be done and accomplished in the name of the Lord. We are sanctified and justified by the name of the Lord. Salvation comes to those who call on the name of the Lord. And the elders are commanded to anoint the sick and pray over those in the name of the Lord. Do you get the pattern? There's really something important about the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is all-powerful, it is almighty, it is all-seeing, it is all-knowing. It is everywhere at all times. He is the first and the last. He is everything in between all at the same time. His name contains all authority in heaven and on earth and under the earth. That's what Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20 says. All of the angels and demons are under the authority of the name of the Lord. Everybody on earth, even those who do not believe in God, are under the name of God. Of the Lord. Even those who mock the name of God, who have never believed in the name of God, who think that they are sovereign in their own reign, it doesn't matter if they are a king or a president, they are under the authority of the name of the Lord. We just can't escape it. You see, it doesn't matter if you don't believe in the name of the Lord. Doesn't make it not true or not powerful or not authoritative. But it is a problem when we miscarry the name of the Lord. And it is amazing to me, with all of these things that we understand, whether it's angels and demons being under the authority of the name of the Lord, or whether it's God's power to command the earth to stand still, or the sun to stand still, or even to back up, all of the things in all of creation are under the name of the Lord and under the authority. It is just amazing to me how flippantly we think of the name of the Lord. And we do it constantly. And it doesn't matter if you want to say, misuse the name of the Lord, or take the name of the Lord in vain, or miscarry the name of the Lord. They all basically mean the same thing. However we are negatively handling the name of the Lord is part of this command, whether it is in worship or whether it is in the things that we do every day. And we know what they are, because there are so many ways that humans miscarry the name of the Lord, and all of them basically have their origins in our heart. The Bible is very clear, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if we're going to speak vile language, if we're going to take the name of the Lord in vain in any manner, if we're going to miscarry the name of the Lord or misuse the name of the Lord, it has to start somewhere, and it doesn't start with the tongue. It starts with the heart. And now we can go back to commandment number one. If you don't have the Lord your God as your only God in your heart, then of course you're going to misuse the name of the Lord. But I just want to give you a few of the ways. Some of these you probably already know, but I want to speak to a few of the many ways that humans miscarry the name of the Lord. The most obvious one, and the one that most people think of, is swearing. You know, and we've all heard it. Maybe at some time we've even said it. People have used the name of God or the name Jesus Christ as a swear word for forever. Who of us hasn't heard somebody say God, D-A-M-N? See, I can't even say it. What are you doing? Are you praying to the Lord that condemnation would come upon that person or that instance? Yes, you are. You don't think you are when you're using it as a swear word, but that's exactly what you're doing. You're calling on the authority of God to provide condemnation on another. Why would you do that? But we don't think about the authority and the power of the name of the Lord our God. We just treat it like a swear word. Or we treat it like a phrase that is just an expression of shock and surprise. You know, Halloween is coming up in just a little bit, and there are going to be all kinds of people who are going to be looking for ways to prank others. And as soon as you jump out of that closet and prank somebody else, you know what phrase is often going to be said? Oh, God, why did you scare me like that? Really? Did God do that? But why do we use it in such a flippant way? Why do we use the name of God? Or people say, Jesus Christ, don't do that. We've all heard it. It's a miscarriage of the name and the authority of the one who created everything. We have to be very careful with acrostics like OMG. And then there are all kinds of people who say, well, I didn't say it. I didn't say the name, so am I still cussing? Well, where do the words come from? They come from your heart. Yes. It's a serious commandment. The name of the God is also miscarried through our hypocrisy. And this is true of everybody. We read God's word, but do we really want to do what God's word says? In a story in the Matthew chapter 7, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus uses this phrase, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. And there are probably lots of people in this world who proclaim the name of Jesus in a very hypocritical manner, but they don't walk the talk. They talk a good game, but their life has never been really transformed. They don't really hang on to his precepts or do his will because, well, it's just easier not. We miscarry the name of the Lord with a lot of empty promises. You've probably heard people say, swear on a stack of Bibles, you know? I swear in the name of Jesus that this is true, but we know deep down inside of ourselves that it's not. And that's a secular way that people have misused the name of the Lord, by making promises and saying, you can trust me as God is my witness. Hand to God. I've heard them all. But we have no intention of doing God's will. We have no intention of honoring our promise. It becomes empty words. We proceed to tell lies and have truths then. And I'm afraid that sometimes we have done that even in church. We probably all know of people who have stood in the waters of baptism and have made the promise, I promise to give my life to Jesus. I am going to be completely surrounded by Christ. I am being baptized into his name, into his authority. I am baptized into Christ. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And people say yes. But has it transformed their life? Are they any different today than they were before? Or even as the years progress, they were baptized when they were 10 years old and now they're 25 or 30 years old. Did that really mean anything to them? Did those promises that they made to Jesus Christ really mean anything? It's hard. And it's no different than a person who makes that promise at a wedding and says, I will love you until the day I die, as God is my witness. And then 3 years later, I've found somebody new. What happened to the promise that you made before the name and the authority and even in the name of God? It's hard. I'm not telling you that this commandment is easy, because it's not. Otherwise, why would we still be reviewing it? You see, the people of Israel, they struggled. When they got out of Egypt and they had been inundated with Egyptian gods, they knew how those prayers went. They knew how those proclamations happened. They knew how to elevate and exalt those gods, including the emperor or the pharaoh. And now God is taking them into the desert and he's saying, no. Even though you've had that for centuries, this is the way I want it. I'm your only God. Don't even imagine another God, and don't profane the name of God. Don't misuse it. You see, we struggle with the name of God. Sometimes even in the name of God. Do you remember? And this is just one of many, many examples. There were lots of people who participated in what were known as the Crusades. And some of them took the cause that wasn't really a very holy cause, but they used that cause to destroy human life. And we struggle. There's a story in Acts chapter 19. In Acts chapter 19, some Jews went around. They were driving out evil spirits. They were invoking the name of Jesus. They would say things like, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." And the evil spirits, they said to these people, "Well, we know Paul or Peter. We even know Jesus, but we don't know who you are at all." And then they jumped out of the people who were possessed with the evil spirits, and they attacked those that were trying to cast them out and beat them up and bloodied them and then just disrespected those people all over the place, if you will. Overpowered them, gave them such a beating, the Bible says, that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Wow. But they were trying to do good. Except their motives weren't very pure. They were invoking the name of Jesus, but not in an honoring way. We can't even fool the evil spirits. Even the evil spirits know what our motives are when we are using the name of God. Finally, one last story. In Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 19. In Acts chapter 8, there's a story about Simon the sorcerer. Simon the sorcerer was a man who came to know Jesus because of the preaching and teaching of the apostles, but he saw that Peter and John were doing things in the name of Jesus and by the authority of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit was descending upon people, and he was just in awe because he thought that was quite a magic trick. "I want some of that," he said. And so he went to Peter and John and he asked them if he could buy the gift that they had. And you know what phrase Peter used for Simon the sorcerer? He said, "Your money perish with you." In other words, what do you think you're trying to do? You cannot buy the Holy Spirit. You are profaning the name of God. You are miscarrying the name of Jesus. You do not understand or have any comprehension of the power of God. Because if you did, you wouldn't be doing this kind of a thing. You see, there are a lot of people, even in our world, who are trying to use earthly resources to manipulate God. You just can't do it. There are people in our world today who are saying, "Okay, God, if you are real, then do this ridiculously hard thing for me. And if you don't do it, then you can't be real." Now, if that's not a miscarriage of the name of God, I don't know what is. We cannot be misusing the name of God to try to satisfy our own our own desires. We could add more. And you've probably thought of more as you've been sitting there, because there are literally innumerable ways that Satan wants to get you to stop honoring the name of God and misusing the name of God, miscarrying it, treating it like a non-entity. And yet, even though there is such danger in misusing or miscarrying the name of God, you know what God wants us to do? He wants us to proclaim His name. Even though there is such danger in our motives and in our hearts, this is what He desires. Give praise to the Lord. Proclaim His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. That's what God wants more than anything. That's why we sing the songs that we sing. That's why we read the scriptures we read. That's why we honor God's name in every way that we can. That's why we continually encourage one another, because the name of the Lord is a strong a tower. The righteous will run into it and they will be saved. It is an incredible opportunity to connect with a name that is more authoritative and powerful than any other name. And it's God's only plan for bringing the gospel message to the world. In Scripture, it says, how are they going to believe unless someone tells them? And how are they going to be told unless someone goes? My friend, that's us. We have been called to go and take the name of Jesus with you. There's a great old hymn. A great hymn by that title, take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrows and of woe, it will joy and comfort give you. Take it everywhere you go. Take it everywhere you go. My friends, that's my encouragement to you. Take the name of Jesus with you. Proclaim that name. Honor that authority. Live in the name of the Lord our God.